We thank God for who he is. We are still in Colossians. We're going to finish up the latter half of Colossians chapter 2. Amen. Now, we went through a lot of Colossians chapter 2 last week. We will finish up the latter half, but we have multiple verses that we will also turn and look at as well. We're going to be dealing with the cross tonight. Tonight, we're going to be dealing with our spiritual baptism through the cross, or through the operation of the cross. Those of you that have your Bibles, if you could turn to Colossians chapter 2. Somebody can read Colossians chapter 2, read verses 11 through 17.
In whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in the in putting off the body of sin for the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and on the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of the ordinance that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. With no man therefore judge ye in meat. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of any holy day or of the new moon or the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ.
Amen.
Let's look to the Lord. Gracious and eternal God, our Father, we just come, Father God, just grateful, oh God. Thank you, oh God, for who you are. Thank you, oh God, for all that you have done. Heavenly Father, recognizing and acknowledging you as God, the Most High, eternal and everlasting, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent. Heavenly Father, from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. And we thank you, O God, that you are our Father. We thank you that you've loved us, O God, with an everlasting love. Heavenly Father, we thank you, O God, because even when we look back over our lives, we see your wonderful and marvelous hand upon our life, O God. Yes. You are the God who works all things after the counsel of his own will. And you cause all things to work together for the good of them that love you and who are called according to your purpose. So we thank you, Lord God, for just your manifold blessings, O God, Heavenly Father, and your grace and your mercy even toward us. We did not deserve it, O God, but yet you love us anyhow. Lord God, we just come praying right now for this Bible study, asking, Father God, that you would just speak to our hearts, Lord God, intentionally, Lord God, specifically, oh God, Heavenly Father, around the things, Lord God, that you will for our lives, conform us to the likeness of your Son and graft your word in us. Heavenly Father, that more than what we say and what we do, Lord God, but that our lives might be the very praise unto your glory. So have your way. We come in this time. You touch Pastor Wright. Lord God, prepare, Lord God, his heart, break his heart, Lord God. Heavenly Father, in submission and surrender unto you, Lord God, that as he opens his mouth, oh God, you would speak through him, Lord God. Heavenly Father, and speak directly to our hearts. Be yet glorified, be yet magnified, be yet lifted up, oh God. We ask all these things in Jesus' name, and for his sake we pray. Amen.
Amen. And the main verse that we're dealing with and dealing with the cross is this verse 11 and 12 are the main verses, in whom we are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And I have here on the sheet is just a diagram right here that shows just a rendering of what happened to us. Amen. When we die with Christ, when we talk about the cross and the power of the cross and what happened on that cross as believers, we were baptized into the death of Jesus Christ by the Spirit. God took us and I'm saying it again, placed us into Christ through his death. We died with him, buried with him, and now that's our lives. We live with him. Amen? And so just a few things that we want to look at tonight in reference in dealing with the cross. And then we're going to look at some other scriptures that the Lord has laid on our hearts and concerning deliverance. Deliverance. We need deliverance. Deliverance personally. Amen. We need deliverance in our families, right? We need deliverance in our homes, in our extended families, and even unto our communities. When we look at what's going on in this world, right? When we look at, we can just take Philadelphia. We can just take Philadelphia, right? And we talk about the gun violence and the murdering, right? That's out of control. And we can talk about so many solutions and so many things that we can do, right, physically. But to deal with the root, unless we deal with the root of the problem, which is sin, amen, the gun violence and these murders and these things will continue. But guess what, y'all? Even in that, we're believing God. We're believing God that we will continue the churches. Amen. And it really is, when you look at this text right here and you see what's going on, there's a few things we want to deal with tonight. Amen. And if we look on our sheet here, if you look at this diagram, what we are in Christ, and in Romans chapter 6, verse 3 says, "Know ye not that so many as us were baptized into Jesus Christ? We were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life." Right? "For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man," somebody say our old man. "Our old man is what? Crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed." And the reason why I keep talking about the cross, and Sunday I was talking about the cross, and we were talking about the cross, and it's funny how the enemy wants us getting away from the cross. Without the cross, we have no salvation. Without the cross of Christ, we have no true deliverance. There is no regeneration or sanctification, but it's the cross. And you know, the Lord just had me almost like in a trance on Saturday night. And he was dealing with me on just how many, listen, and this is not an indictment, I'm not talking about other churches, but you see how in many churches and many people have moved away, right? We've moved away from the message of the cross. Amen. We've moved away from the message of the cross. We've moved away from the co-crucifixion that and our exchange life. We've really gotten away from that. Amen. And so we want to turn right now to 1 Corinthians. We talk about the power of the cross. We talk about this operation. We talk about this operation of burial, this operation of death, this operation of co-crucifixion, this operation where we've been baptized into Christ's death. Amen. And the cross. So first, let us look at First Corinthians, but when you talk about the cross, one of the key verses, when you look at all the stuff that was going on in First Corinthians, when you look at all of the carnality and all of the flesh and everything that was going on there, when you look at that, Paul had to, in Jesus' name, set the record straight. For he says, if y'all can look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17, right? He says, for Christ sent me not to baptize, because some were even boasting and bragging, saying, well, this one baptized me, that one baptized me. I follow this preacher, I follow that preacher. Amen. But Paul said this, he says, Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. Amen? Mm-hmm. Lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. And when we go around the cross and when we rely, listen, when we rely on our own power, when we rely on our own wisdom, when we rely on our own education and think that we have a handle on this thing, guess what? The cross is made of no effect. And then there's other versions like in the NIV that talked about the power of the cross is empty. Amen. It's empty. It's empty. It's useless when we rely on our own strength. Right. And then it says here in verse 18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish what?
Foolishness.
But unto us who are saved, it is the power of God. And you know what? And we always talk about it. Christ, listen, Paul had lineage. He had clout. He studied under the finest of doctors. He had the finest of education. He had the finest of degrees. And he had, listen, Paul had eloquence. He had that. He had eloquence. But guess what? What he found out was he had to leave all that, let all that go. Right? That it talks about in Philippians. I'm trying not to flip there, but it says, he says that I may win Christ. I'm forgetting all these things. That I may win Christ. He says all those things are done. Everything else has to be done that the power of Christ may continue to rest upon him. And if you look at verse 21 in 1 Corinthians, he says, for after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Amen. For the Jew require a sign, but the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ. Somebody say Christ.
Christ.
Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. But verse 27 says, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty, and the base things of the world, the things that are despised, which God hath got chosen, and the things that are not, to bring to naught the things that are. Amen. And this is the key right here. This is the key, that no flesh should glory in his presence. And so what was going on back in Colossians, right? The Judaizers, the spirit of Gnosticism, the spirit of knowledge, and all these things that had attacked the church, they said, yes, you're saved, but you need these things. You need these things to go along with your salvation. They were looking for external works, right? They were looking for externality, right? And they were looking for all these things. And here, if we go back, now keep your finger in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we're going to go back there, right? And I'm telling y'all, and I said, when you talk about, right, the church, we talk about where we come every week. We talk about this Bible study line. We must see deliverance in our lives. We must see deliverance in three things. Listen, and I'm even if you don't write them down right now, because they're not on the sheet, but three things that we're going to talk about tonight, right? We talk about our spiritual baptism through the cross, three things, and it's the cross. It's what Christ accomplished on the cross that broke the whore or the barrier. We're going to look at that. I got an illustration for that as well. It's what Christ did to break the horde or the barrier. That's one. Horde or the barrier. Number two, it's what Christ that did, right, that puts the adversary, right? Listen, how about this? It renders the adversary powerless. The cross, the preaching of the cross, renders the adversary powerless. Satan's adversary. And number three, right? The preaching of the cross, it manifests God's power, Christ's power, listen, in the life of the believer. Those three things. Amen. It breaks the horde and the barrier that separated us, breaks horde and barrier, right? It renders the adversary powerless. And number two, it manifests the power of God in our lives. And so when you look back in Colossians, right? When you look back in Colossians chapter 2, he tells us we're buried with him in baptism. Verse 12, you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of who raised him from the dead. Right? Verse 13 says, and you being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh had he quickened. He made us alive. I'm just going to skim through this. He blotted out the handwritten ordinances, those things that held us, and having spoiled principalities and powers, and made a show over them openly. Right? Triumphing. We talked about the triumph that Christ brought when he died, right? And he was buried in the ground Friday, Saturday night. Amen. He went down to Sheol, Hades, and he broke the horde, the barrier, the horde that Satan had over those who had died in the Lord, in the bosom of Abraham, Sheol. Christ set them free. And there was a great triumph. There was a great triumph, and there were seen those coming, following Christ. Amen. And he loosed the bondage that was over them. And it also talks about that in Ephesians, right? But here in chapter two, when he says, let no man judge you in meat or drink or respect of a holy day, which are things of a shadow of things that are a shadow to come, let no man beguile you of your reward and voluntary humility. And there were things they were doing, and these were religious things, showing people that you were humble, trying to portray to people that you were more saved and more powerful than somebody else. It was more of a strict religious custom that they were doing, right? And worshiping angels, intruding into those things which he had not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and holding the head from which the body and the joints and the bands having nourishment ministered and knit together, increases with the increase of God. Because he's saying you're not holding to the head of Jesus Christ, right? Wherefore, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of this world, why as though you're living in this world, are you subject to these laws? Why are you subject to the law? Going back to the law of Moses we talked about on Sunday, you're blind, you're rendered powerless, and you're subject to these ordinances. And then Paul says, touch not, taste not, handle not, which are all to perish with the using after the commandments and doctrines of men. For these things have a show of wisdom and will worship. And humility, they have a show, but not in any way are these things able to deliver you. right? And so therefore, it goes back to what Paul said, that the cross becomes of no effect. Amen? Now let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 2. Let's look at that. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And Paul said, and I, brethren, when I came to you, all those things that the Judaizers wanted to portray and wanted to invoke on these new converts, even going on in Corinthian church, it was even going on in the church of Galatians, all these things, Paul says this, I came to you not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. He says, for I determined not to know anything among you. He said, I don't care about your feast days. I don't care about your 100 men in black and 100 women in white and all these traditions and all these religions and all these things, because the Christ, the cross, was of none effect. Right? And this is what he said. For I determined not to know anything among you but Jesus Christ and him being crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in what? Demonstration of the what? Spirit and of what? Power. Listen, y'all. I need the demonstration. I need the power of God in my life. Amen. I want the power, amen, of God in my praying. I want the power of God in my living. I want the power of God in my home. Amen. And it comes through our death. And Paul said, I want to know him and the power of his what? Resurrection. And the fellowship of his suffering to be made conformable to his very death. I want to know him that way. And the Bible says, you shall know them by their fruit. That there must be evidence, y'all, in all of our lives where we can see the hand of Christ working in our lives. We can see a move of God in our lives and in our homes and in our families. And that comes through our co-crucifixion and our death with Jesus Christ. Amen. That's how that comes. Mm-hmm. And when you look at this text, when you look at this, and you look at Paul, amen. That's why I said we can't go around the cross. Mm-hmm. Everything from Genesis to Revelation must come through the cross. It's the cross. It's the cross. It's the cross. Can't go around it. Can't go around the cross. Amen. And so when you look at the cross, when you look at the cross, when you look at what Christ did, and the Bible says in Ephesians that he abolished in his flesh the what? The enmity, the separation, not just between the Jew and the Gentile, but between God, amen, and a sinful people. Christ abolished in his flesh the enmity of us all. We're going to go back to our sheet. And you see that? Can y'all see that? It says the barrier canceled, the work of Christ. I have the words, right? Propitiation, redemption, expiation, substitution, regeneration, imputation, justification. See here, the barrier canceled. You see here, the barrier, which was the holiness of God. We were separated. I want somebody to find Habakkuk 1:13, right? This was the barrier. Somebody on the line to find Romans 3:23. Amen? And that's talking about the sin. I want somebody else on the line to find Romans 6:23. Amen? That's talking about the penalty. If you know it, you can just quote it. And then somebody find, when it talks about our death, 1 Corinthians 15:22. We're going to look at the barrier. Listen, what was it, the whore, that separated us from a holy God? What was it? We're going to look at it. I mean, it's easy to just say, well, it was our sin, Pastor. Amen. But it was more than just our sin. The root cause was sin. Back in 1:13, it says, thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil. And guess what? God cannot look on. He could not look on our iniquity. Wherefore, lookest thou upon them that deal treacherously and holdest thy tongue when the wicked devoureth the man that is more righteous than he. And so, basically, God's eyes were too holy to even look upon sin. And we thank God, and he loved us so much, right, that he was not willing to lower his standard of holiness. But what did he do? He sent his son that he could dump out that wrath, right? That he could dump out that seething pot of wrath, that he could dump it out onto his son in our place. Amen? And it's our faith in Christ and what he did to know him as Savior and Lord. Amen? That wrath, that penalty that we should have took, that it talks about in John chapter 3:36, the wrath of God that's still on the heads of those that do not know Jesus Christ. Amen. Christ blotted it out of the way. He nailed it to the cross by the finished work on Calvary. Amen. Amen. Now, before he died on the cross, we were separated from him. We were separated from God. Thank God for the animals. Thank God for the sacrifice. Thank God for the Old Testament temple and tabernacle where they were sacrificed. These animals, amen. But that was only temporarily appeased. Mm-hmm. It would appease. The bucket was still there. The cup of wrath. Amen. Mm-hmm. That Jesus drunk in our place. Guess what? Y'all see this cup? It was still there. So all the sacrifices did, right, in the Old Testament, right, all they did was God held the wrath, right, looking for his son because of the forbearance of the blood of Jesus Christ that went all the way back to Genesis, that's going all the way forth through Revelation from eternity back to eternity present, that wrath, the holy eyes of God, right, he held it knowing his son was going to come. Mm-hmm. And then when his son came to die on that cross for us, Jesus said, Father, if it be possible, let this what? Cup. What? Pass from me. But he said, nevertheless, let not what? My will, but thy will be done. And he said, this cup will only pass unless I what? He drank the cup. Amen. And that wrath was poured out onto his son. Y'all, and it's the word of God. It's the word, getting in the word. The word shows us, man, the word shows us what it took to save us. Mm-hmm. The word shows how much God loved the son and the son loved the father and that the son was equal with God. The word shows us what God gave up and how much he loved us. And guess what, y'all? The more we get in the word, our roads lead back to the cross and shows us what God did to save us. I'll never know why he saved me. I'll never know why he loved me. I'll never know why he cared. We'll never know why he sacrificed his life. Oh, but we're glad. We're thankful for the love. Amen. Listen. That love that he had, that it talks about in Psalms 139, that we're fearfully and wonderfully made. And even in Psalms 139, he talks about how we were formed in the mother's womb, right? And how he knows us. He knows our uprising. He knows our down sitting. He knows the very number of heads on our head. He knows how many cells are in my body. The Bible says we're fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy work. And my what? My soul knows right well. Let's flip to Psalms 139. Psalms 139. Listen, that's why we get in this word. That's why we talk about the love of Christ. That's why, because guess what, y'all? It's our validation to know that we're loved, to know how much he loves us. That's going to, listen, it's our love. It's falling in love to know what he's done for us, to know that he's validated us. That, listen, that's what's going to propel us to die. That we won't mind dying, that we won't mind co-death. We won't mind co-burial because he loves us. Amen. Psalms 139. Listen to what he said. He says, I will praise thee, verse 14, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and my soul knows right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance. Hallelujah. Regardless of what you think you look like about yourself, it don't matter. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. You are beautiful. Amen. Listen, we've got to be validated in this love. That's where Paul was. Amen. Listen, and then he goes on to say, my substance was not hid when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in the book, all my members were written, which continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. Oh, how precious also are thy thoughts. Romans 3:23.
For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
Amen. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Right? That was us. Romans 6:23. We should know these, but I'm still reading them anyway.
For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
So we were separated from the holiness of God. Right? Romans 3:23. We were separated by sin. Romans 6:23. We had the penalty. Of God over our heads, the wrath of God. Romans 6:23, we had death. We were condemned to death. 1 Corinthians 15:22.
For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive.
Amen. So because of the first man, Adam, the sentence of death was on our heads. Mm-hmm. Right? But Christ come, he's the new Adam, right? And because of Christ, we all have now received his nature in us by the Holy Spirit. Amen? And the Bible says in Peter that we are partakers of the very nature of Jesus Christ. His nature now lives in us. We have a new nature. And that's why the Bible says if any man be in Christ, he's a what? New creature or new creature. Old things are passed away. And behold, all things are made new. Amen. That's why we must continue in the word that we grow. We have everything we need, but we have to grow in who we are. We have to grow in what Christ has done. We've got to grow even in being educated to know what was cut down by way of the cross. And all these things were cut down for us. Amen. Isaiah 64:6.
For we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away.
Amen. So the Bible says even our righteousness, even when we try to do good, guess what? They are as a filthy rag. But what that filthy rag is, even our righteousness cut short. We could not. Only Christ did. Amen? And so when we look at the barrier canceled, 1 John 2:2 talks about our propitiation. Ephesians 1:7 talks about our redemption. Colossians 2:14 talks about expiation. And what that means. Matthew 20:28, and y'all can just write these scriptures down. This is your homework. Write these scriptures down, and I want you to read. these, all these words, right? I want y'all to write these words down, have a definition for them, right? This is what Christ, the barrier that was canceled through the atoning work of Christ, this is what he did. He was our substitution through regeneration, Titus 3:5, substitution, Matthew 20:28, imputation, Romans 4:1-8, and our justification, Romans 3:21-26. Next week, in the very beginning of the Bible study, I want everybody to talk about, I can look at this word and propitiation and look at what jumps out to you and what it means to you and the definition of it and what the verse means. We talked about the barrier that was canceled through the atoning work of Jesus Christ. And the significance of it, it satisfies the holiness of a holy God. It gives a forgiveness of sin. Christ removed the penalty by suffering the penalty himself in our place as our substitution. Amen. So we want to look at that. All right. Now, the three words, the three subjects that we gave out at the beginning of this Bible study, we are going to look at when it comes to our deliverance, right? Mm-hmm. When it comes to the hoard and the barrier that was broken through the cross. When it comes in the adversary, to the adversary, Satan, mm-hmm. right? And how he's rendered powerless. Mm-hmm. When it comes to the power that we now have in Christ, we're going to look at that. Mm-hmm. First one I want y'all to look at, let's turn, and we were here last week, Matthew chapter 18. And so when you look at the debt and the penalty that was against us, and when you look at the law of Jesus Christ, and how he said, I came not to do away with the law, but he was the fulfillment of the law, right? He's become the law, and it's the grace of God that we now have, and the forgiveness of God. And when this holy God looks at Christ, when he sees us, right, he sees the Son at the right hand, with his nail-scarred hands, with the spear marks, and the stripes of his body, he sees that as payment when we come before him, amen, for forgiveness. But 1 John 1:8 says this, if any say he is without sin, he is a what? He is a liar. And the truth is not in him. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our faults before him, he's faithful and just to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And guess what, y'all? It's a relationship in the word of God. When Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2, we've denounced the hidden things of dishonesty, right? And those things that we had in our heart, those things that we had there, we've denounced them things. And guess what, y'all? Every day when I get in this word, listen, it's the grace of God that I am what I am, but it's allowing the word to show us and pinpoint some things in my life that we can confess. And the word of God will bring back the things like the splinter that was in my finger for 3 days, and I tried to ignore it, that it wasn't there. Guess what? There's some things in us that we have to confess. Amen. Because when there is no confession in our lives, there is no conviction in the word of God to do it. Guess what? That barrier is still over our heads. Now, our soul is saved, right? But we give the enemy opportunity, the adversary opportunity to come and hinder our lives. And listen, people can think what they want to think. Guess what? I am what God says I am. Amen. You can call me holy, whatever. But all I know is when a man or a woman falls into sin, guess what? That's between them and Jesus Christ. But what so many people want to do, they want to fall into sin, mess up a home, mess up a man, or whatever it is, right? But then they want to walk around like they did nothing wrong. Amen. Guess what? You're bringing the horde. We must ask God to forgive us, not between us and the preacher. You don't have to go in a booth and confess your faults to a priest. You don't have to do it. But the Bible says you can come boldly to the what? Throne of grace in your time of need to obtain mercy and what? And grace to help. It's because, I am no better than anybody else. But it's the grace of God that I am what I am. I persecuted the church that Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He did all these things, but it's the grace of God, his relationship, that on a daily basis we can confess our faults, that we can continue to grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Amen. We talk about this unforgiveness, right? Verse 23 of chapter 18 says, therefore, there's a kingdom of heaven is likened to a certain king, which had account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought to him that owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and his children and all that he had payment. The servant therefore fell down, worshiped him, and said, Lord, please forgive me. That was us when we got saved, right? Then the Lord of the servant was moved with compassion and loosed him. He loosed him. What did he loose him from? He loosed him from his debt. He loosed him from the horde, the barrier that was on him, right? And he loosed him and he forgave him of his debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which had owed him 100 pence. That's like, and y'all, what that is, that's like $10 million compared to $100. That's what it was. It was like $10 million, but it was a debt he could not pay. And then somebody owed him $100, and he laid hands on him, took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And the fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me. I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay him of the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that, he called him, saying unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee of the debt because thou desiredest of me. Shouldest not thou have also had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And guess what, y'all? The forgiveness and the debt that he had was bought back over his head. Amen? And we as believers, when we have things in our heart, unforgiveness, that's why we talked about 1 John 1:8, 1:9, right? He says, when you come to the altar, leave your gift at the altar. If your brother has an ought with you, and we've got to get those things right in our lives. And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to his tormentors till he should pay all that was due. So likewise shall my heavenly Father, this is Jesus Christ, giving this, do also unto you, if you from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. And you know what I like about this? It shows how that debt he owed was on him and his family. Right? And a lot of times, as parents, when we have things that we're not delivered from, there are generational curses that are projected right onto our children. And a lot of times when the father or the mother is bound, the children are bound. Amen? A lot of times, not all the time, but a lot of times it's our bondage. And you notice how when the Philippian jailer was saved, they said salvation has come into his own house. And so when you talk about the murders in Philadelphia, when you talk about, listen, it's the gospel, it's the cross, it's the fathers to be delivered that's going to deal with these generational curses. So that's the hoard. That's the barrier. That when we hold stuff, we give the enemy ample opportunity. We talk about fathers. We're going to look at the father right now. Let's turn to Job, book of Job. When we talk about the importance, listen, I just want to be right. I just want to be right. I just want to be right before God. I have a conviction on the inside to be right before God. I don't want nothing hanging over my head. Amen. Amen. Now, if trouble come, if sorrows come, guess what? Man, Lord Jesus, help me. I forget the verse that talks about to know that we have an advocate with the Father, to know that my relationship is right with God. So if these things come, guess what? I will know God allowed them to come. Don't get me wrong. You're going to get upset. Mm-hmm. You might get frustrated. You might go through some things. But at the end of the day, when Job said, he says, I looked to my left and you were not there. I looked to my right and I perceived you not. But Lord, you know the what? The way that I go and the steps that I take. That when I come through this storm, I shall be made as pure gold. 1 John chapter 2, my little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteousness. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not our sins only, but also for the sins of the world. Amen. So when we look at Job chapter 1, verse 5 says this. And it was so when the days of their feasting were going out about that Job sent and sanctified them and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of all of them. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned. And that's what we're talking about, right? Mm-hmm. And cursed God in their hearts. Thus, Job did this continually. Amen. And if we can drop down to verse 7. And the Lord said unto Satan, where are you going for? So when we talk about the horde, now we're talking about the adversary. The Lord said unto Satan, where are you coming from? Then Satan answered the Lord and said unto him, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in all the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. Amen. And so, listen. When he says in verse 7 that the devil was going to and fro in the earth, walking up and down, that's the adversary. And the adversary is looking for a whore or barrier or unforgiveness or habitual sins or a gossiping tongue or a cussing tongue or a liar or a cheater, whatever the hoard is in your life, the enemy is looking to put a foothold. That's why the Bible says, let not the sun go what? Down. your wrath, that you will give an opportunity for the adversary. But this is what the devil, verse 9, Satan answered unto the Lord and said, doeth Job fear God for naught? He says, Satan basically says, are you kidding me? I can't do nothing with Job. He says here, hast thou not made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he has on? Listen, Job had a hedge of protection. We got to know that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against, there's principalities, powers, there are things that attacking us. But guess what? My God is greater. My God is stronger. My God is able to cover us by and through the blood of Jesus Christ to put a hedge of protection over my house, over my marriage, over my children, over my yard. I'm protected and I'm covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. And it's a relationship through confession, through conviction, that God protects you. That even if trouble come, I know like Job. Amen. That God allowed it. Amen. And so here's what the enemy said. He said, thou put a hedge around his house. Everything, even on every side, thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. And he said, but put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. This is what the devil said. If you allow me, he had to get the enemy had to get permission to cause havoc. Amen. In Job's life. Amen. So we have the horde. We see in Matthew chapter 18. And here we see how the adversary works. Amen. In Job chapter 1. Psalms 91. We talk about the power of Christ resting on us. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Paul said, therefore, seeing we have ministry as we have received mercy, we faint not, but we've renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, not handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. He says, we've renounced the hidden things, and it's the hidden thing. David said, thou desires to know truth in my hidden part. There's nothing like deliverance when God has delivered you on the inside. Amen. And that was his power. That was the power that Paul had to go on, was his continual deliverance, even through suffering, even through the thorn. Said, I prayed three times that this thorn may be removed. And God finally answered him and said, Paul, my grace is sufficient. Most gladly, therefore, will I boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ might rest upon me. Amen. And that's the suffering of self. Amen. You ain't got to do anything to bring on suffering, but just live right. It'll come. Make you into what the image of Jesus Christ. Amen. Psalms 91:1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High God shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say unto the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover me with his feathers, and under his wings shall thy trust. His truth shall be thy what? Shield and thy buckler. For thou shalt not be what? Afraid. For the what? Terror by night. Nor the arrow that flieth by, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction. All these things that we can go through. But guess what? But it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shall thy behold to see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High thy habitation, there shall no evil, hallelujah, befall thee. Neither shall any plague come what? Thy dwelling. And I thank God for many of the physical things that we go through in life. It's because of the spiritual, the things that are on the inside. Amen. But it's a right relationship with Christ that is your protection. Y'all know that? It's a right relationship. And listen, and that even when the storms do come, guess what? Your soul, amen, when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well. Guess what? Man, the bottom of the bottom of the bottom could drop out in my life. You can still say, it is well. Because of the cross of Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm buried with him. I've died with him. And now my seat is with him. And Christ is my protection. He's my life. And he is my light. Paul says, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. And to know we have this treasure in earthen vessel that is not of us, but it is of God. I don't care what you're going through. I don't care about the whatever it is, medical conditions, could be financial, could be your children, could be your job, could be depression. Guess what? Your deliverance through this word. Amen. That this is our deliverance. It's the cross that we preach. And without the preaching of the cross, guess what? No deliverance. We need continued deliverance, church. Amen. I'm delivered. No money in my pocket. Guess what? I'm delivered. I'm free. And now the Lord is that spirit. And where the spirit of the Lord is, we've been liberated. We've been set free. Our freedom is in Christ. Guess what? Don't walk around just looking sad all the time. Ready, y'all. People are lost looking for something to satisfy. Something to shoot. Jesus said, the spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek, those who are ready to receive, to open up the prison to them that are bound. Amen. Mm-hmm. To loose the prisons, those that are blind, to open the eyes, those that have shackles. He has the key to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever we bind on earth, we bound in heaven. Whatever we loose on earth, we'll be loose in heaven. Made possible by the cross and the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Most gracious and eternal Father, God, we thank you. We bless you, oh God. We praise you just for who you are. Because you are God all by yourself, and besides you, there is none other. God, we pray, oh God, for to know that the cross is your power. And it's the preaching of the cross to them that perish foolishness. But to us who are saved, it is the power of God. So God, go with us, be with us, cover us, and keep us. God, we plead the blood of Jesus. We pray your hedge of protection around everybody that's represented on this line, every family member, even those that are not on this line, the church body, our community, our extended family, our extended loved ones. We pray your protection. God, that you would just continue to cover us and keep us, and that we will be the people that you've called and created for us to be. God, we love you and we bless you, even these bereaved families, oh God, that are going through, even these young people, oh God, that many of the older people have turned their noses up and act like there is no hope for them. Mm-hmm. When they were once in a similar position, mm-hmm. and somebody prayed for them. Father God, we pray for our children. We That's pray right. for our teenagers. We yes. pray, oh God, we're the only light and the mm-hmm. witness that we have with some people in our family or in our communities or in our street. Help us to be a representation of the light of Christ. That he will yes, permeate Lord. Through our lives. God, we thank you. Because death must work in us. Community Baptist, death must work in us. And life in somebody else. Help us to examine our lives. God, that we just can't give up. That we just can't say, oh, well, that's them. Help us to stop. Help us to love them. Help us to get with them, oh God. In the name of Jesus. Break yes, our hearts Lord. To win souls to you. Mm-hmm. It's not about even the rituals of the church or the religion in the church, it's about the gospel being preached and our lives being lived. God, we love you and we bless you. God, all the bereaved families, everybody on the line, oh God, all of our children, all of our babies, our communities and our country, God, we pray. All these blessings we ask in Jesus' name. For his sake, we pray. Let everybody say, amen.